Whenever I play Karen Carpenter songs on this show, you love hearing them. And we get such a good response whenever we play the Carpenters. They're obviously classics, and she just had the most wonderful voice. Over the past couple of months, there's been a wonderful Karen Carpenter tribute show that's been touring the country. The final show is this Saturday at the Sydney Opera House, A Kind of Hush, The Magic of Karen Carpenter. And what a venue. And talking about magic, the singers who are performing, I think, are just that. Abby Dodson, Melinda Schneider, and Katie Noonan. Now, I've been a fan of Katie's for a long time. I think she is, without one of this country's finest singers, and certainly one of the best singers I've ever seen perform live. And she joins us on the show. Katie, thank you for joining us.
G'day, my friend. That was a very lovely intro. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll talk about why I say that in a moment, because I've actually seen you in concert a lot over the years, starting with what you're doing and what you have been doing over the past couple of months. And I know you're playing in Thirroul and then the Sydney Opera House, taking part in this amazing Carpenter tribute. How did that all come about?
Well, it's actually my idea. I sort of put together the band and the singers and the set list and, you know, curated the show. And then with my manager, we worked with an awesome promoter, Melon Events, who are actually based over in Perth. And they put together this amazing tour for us. And this is actually our second Sydney Opera House show. The first one was sold out, and this one's pretty much sold out as well. So we're feeling very, very lucky to be, you know, making this music with friends and sharing songs that we've just adored since our childhood, really.
Yes. So why the Carpenters? Was it music you grew up to?
Absolutely. I mean, not in her lifetime, you know, because sadly, Karen died in 1982 when I was only five. So I discovered her a little later. I think I was about 9 or 10, and my parents were overseas, and I was just missing them terribly. And I found somehow I had a Carpenter's Best Of tape in my little Sony Walkman. She just made me cry. Like, her voice is just so vulnerable and true and beautiful and sad and kind and all the things that you want a voice to do to you, sort of thing. It's very, she was incredible, and an incredible drummer as well. Like, such a great musician, one of the first women I ever saw behind a drum kit. In fact, probably the first woman I ever saw behind a drum kit. So she was an all-round musician, you know, in an era where women were generally the pretty ones up the front, whereas she was behind the kit being a total badass. So, yeah, she's inspired me in many ways.
You're sharing the stage with some wonderful performers as well. You know, you mentioned their friends. Was it hard to get the likes of Melinda Schneider involved?
No, look, Melinda and I are great mates. We've done a couple of other concerts together, and we have a very similar work ethic, and we love singing harmonies. There are so many harmonies with Richard Carpenter and Karen creating that big, beautiful wall of backing vocals. So, and I had a feeling that Melinda would like Karen. And of course, they did do some great country tunes. So Melinda's sort of covering more of the country repertoire.
Yeah.
And Abby Dobson, who's one of my favourite singers, beautiful, beautiful woman from Leonardo's Bride. She's really got some of the songs that really sort of torch songs. And then I've actually got my beautiful 15-year-old mentee, Layla Havana. She's a proudly First Nations Sri Lankan Australian artist who I'm taking on her very first tour, and she's basically blowing the audience away every night. And then we have it was going to be an all-female band. We have three spectacular women, but actually the female drummer that I asked ended up not being able to do it, and so it came, I just realised that there was a particularly good drummer in my shed practicing, so it's my 18-year-old son Dexter on drums, which is a special sort of family, you know, it's a family, the Carpenters were a family band. My first band was just my brother. Now I'm, you know, in a band with my son. It's it's special, yeah.
Well, talking about that, I would have seen you live for the first time. It would have been 20 years ago now, I guess, 20 years ago. Because lots of people around my age, we fell in love with your band, George.
With
your brother, Tyrone. Oh, okay, Don't get me started on how good you guys were. Seriously, my now wife and I, we saw you probably, I reckon, 8 or 9 times in those years.
Oh, legend. And amazing. Yeah.
There was this one show. You probably don't have memories of it because I know you played all over the country. But it was it's in a little bar called Brass Monkey in Cronulla, and where I live.
I love that room. I still play
it's
that
downstairs.
Room.
Yeah, and you go downstairs. Anyway,
And the Lebanese grannies are in the kitchen making the most yummy Lebanese food. Yeah.
You had some problems with your PA, and I recall you saying, oh, let's just forget about the microphone. And you just blew everyone away with your voice in that room that night.
I do remember that, actually. I mean, you have to... I think because I studied jazz, jazz is all about being very in the moment and improvising and just get rolling with the punches of whatever's happening, you know what I mean? Whether that be sort of slightly challenging, like things like that, or, of course, being swept up by the magic of your improvising bandmates. So, I do remember that, actually. That would have been around 2000, 2001, I reckon, before our first album came out, which came out in 2022. So actually, probably 24 years ago, my friend.
Wow, we're all getting on a bit. That first album, Polly Serena, and so you're with your brother Tyrone and your other bandmates. You had some really big hits on that album and Special Ones and Breathe In Now. Are you proud of that stuff? Because honestly, you've still got a lot of fans out there who remember those days really well.
Oh, no, I'm fiercely proud of it. I mean, that record, apparently we were the first band in Australian legal history to have complete creative and artistic control in our contract. And, you know, we were a 7-year overnight success because we've been touring our asses off around the country, making all our own indie EPs, playing 6 nights a week, supporting all sorts of awesome bands. Like Coldplay, Macy Gray, Midnight Oil, like, you know, we just worked and worked. And then we had a lot of labels wanting to sign us, but we were really worried. The industry then, you know, really, it was not a space for, like, creative control was not active. And the major labels would never give it, you know. But thankfully, we got that deal and really made the record that we really wanted to make. And without people sort of trying, we took advice and we worked with our amazing producer, David Nicholas, who held our hand through that process. But, I'm really proud of that record. I'm really proud of our second record as well. You know, I feel very lucky that I've been able to be a full-time musician for, over 25 years now. Yeah.
The way your band managed to, you shared lead vocals with your brother. And it was like the alternate singles would come out where you'd put out one and he'd have one where he was on lead vocals. What I've got to say I love about your music in those days, and look, your voice is still the same, but it was so delicate and it was so powerful, but it combined that real strength live with that delicate sensual sound, particularly with your voice.
Yeah, thank you. I think, look, we came just after the sort of grunge era. So, you know, it was Nirvana and it was, Patterson, they weren't really grunge, but, you know, Silverchair and Soundgarden, and there was a lot of fellas with pedals and you know, in flannies. And and then actually it was Leonardo's Bride that were a big influence. So I was like, oh, hang on. I mean, the biggest influence was obviously Jeff Buckley. We were sort of Buckley.
Oh, goodness, now you're talking.
And we were like, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, pop music, for want of a better word, can be delicate and vulnerable but then also powerful. Yep. Like, you know, Buckley, he does the quietest version of Cohen's Alleluia or Light Like Wine, and then he goes into the full fire of Eternal Life or Last Goodbye. And that sort of was a big inspiration for us, just really exploiting that dynamic range, I guess, within the music. Yeah.
I know your mum was a singer, wasn't she? And were you classically trained? You mentioned jazz before.
Yes, no, I was. So I've pretty much started opera at the conservatorium, and my mum taught my brother and I, and her technique is very much classical bel canto technique. She's only really just stopped singing now. And she was actually the first singer to get a full scholarship to the Sydney Conservatorium in the mid-60s, I think. And I started classical, then I went into jazz, and then I was doing my band. And then I've actually sort of recently come back to classical. I've recently formed a classical a cappella vocal quartet called Ave, Australian Vocal Ensemble. And that's it's actually really fun. I'm enjoying the challenge of getting back to my traditional classical technique again. Yeah.
Well, I was about to ask, after you wrap up, a kind of hush, what's next on the agenda? It'll be classic?
Yes, we're finishing the Australian Vocal Ensemble album, which will be called, I think, Thought is Surrounded by a Halo, which is the name of a poem by our poetic muse. We've done two albums, each one's based on the poetry of, first one was David Lalouf, and the second one is Gwen Harwood, who was a fantastic writer and one of the first women to have a poetic voice in Australia. Yeah, that, and then, you know, keep them busy. But this tour has just been such a joy. The music is so joyful, and I think going back and hearing these songs from our, you know, from yesterday once more,
yeah,
the quote song title, it just is bringing a lovely sense of safety and nostalgia, and it's really special. And, you know, it's not a tribute show in the way that no one sings like Karen. We are pretty close to the arrangements, but, you know, the musicians are jazz musicians, so there's some improvisation, and you know, I sing like me, and Melinda sings like herself. So we're paying homage to the tunes, yeah.
Well, the final show is at the Opera House this Saturday night. Yes, it's 1:30, isn't it? 1:30 in the afternoon.
I know, soundcheck's at like 9:30 or something.
Tickets are fairly limited. There's not a lot left. So if you want to get tickets, have a look at the website now. Congratulations on your career so far, and good luck with the rest of the last couple of shows.
Thank you so much, my friend. Take care.
The wonderful Katie Noonan.